Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So,
why are you faking that lisp?
I'm not faking a lisp.
Yeah, you just did it again.
No, that's a lisp. I'm not faking it. I don't fake lisps.
Well, because sometimes you have it and sometimes you put it on.
When do I
a bit like you fake it.
When do I fake a lisp?
I don't know.
Do you think sometimes I pretend I have a lisp?
Yeah.
No, I don't. When do I ever do that?
Well, you do.
Well, I don't. I don't feel like I do. I don't fake anything, Francis, actually.
Eloise does.
Hey, I'll tell you who the person we have on the podcast, they definitely doesn't fake anything.
Who's that?
She doesn't fake singing because she has one of the most beautiful voices.
Oh, yeah. No, she's a genuine...
She's a genuine talent. Genuine talent. Freya Ridings. Now, yeah. There's a great story behind how Francis and I came across Freya. you always make a face when I use that term.
Yeah, because you always say it with a weird grin on.
No, I don't.
Some weird, cheesy, sick grin. Perverted.
But she obviously, Freya sang that amazing song, Lost Without You. Standing on the platform, waiting for the train home.
That's not how it goes.
Okay, well, it's kind of close.
Anyway, yeah, basically... I said to you that I thought she was going to be very big, and mm-hmm. and I called it.
No, that's such a lie. You said, oh, I know who's going to be really big is Freya Ridings. I said, I already know who Freya Ridings is.
Oh, no, but I've been saying that for like years.
Really?
Yeah.
Even before she was a singer, you were like...
No, she's been a singer for like 20 years.
What, like Aretha Franklin?
No, since she was like four.
That would make her four. Yeah, that's true. That would make her four. We had Freya Ridings on the podcast. She was wonderful. She was beautiful. She was incredible. I mean, it's such a fun, lovely... And it's all... Do you know what I loved about it, Francis? I think we were saying...
Well, you loved all the free stuff from the gifting suite at Major League.
She invited us to a gifting suite afterwards, but I didn't like all the free
you
stuff.
You were loving it.
Who was the one who
And then
got...
you tried to steal all those baseballs.
Who was the one who took all of the stuff?
No, that's just because they offered. They said, yeah, you can take whatever you want.
And you're like a sly burglar in the corner just taking everything.
Hey, I wasn't the one who actually got banned from Boots for shoplifting. So.
You also turned out... You looked like... When you were wearing the Red Sox hat and the Red Sox jumper, you looked like a weird substitute teacher who loved baseball.
Was trying to get in with the kids because of my love of baseball.
But also we got a really cool competition because Freya very kindly gave two tickets to her show at the Roundhouse on the 11th of March in London. So we have two tickets for a winner who can go with themselves and a friend. Yeah,
so they can if they win the tickets, they can take a friend.
They can take a friend, and
they can just take they can go by themselves, have a spare seat next to them.
And what we would love to do
meet someone new at the
yeah. So if
at
you
the concert,
yeah.
So if you do you want to come sit next to me? I've got a spare ticket.
So if you want Okay, so all you got to do is, if you want to win those two tickets, all you got to do is follow our Instagram at Private Podcast. You got to like it, tag a friend on it, and comment underneath.
On the post that we put up.
On the actual post that we put up. And you can win two tickets to Frere Ridings on the 11th of March at the Roundhouse, which is going to be the same. Francis and I are going to be there, so come say hi to us. We can't wait to see you. It's going to be incredible. And we can hang out and have a couple of shandies together. You know what I mean?
I think you should stay off the shandies here, but... bit of a liability.
But anyway, so go and do that. Remember to go on the Instagram. And also, like as always, please like and comment and do all the kind of things that you love to do on the podcast, because we freaking love you guys. You really are awesome. Keep subscribing, keep commenting.
You make it all worthwhile.
You really do. And without you, once again, we wouldn't be here. So we really appreciate it.
Standing on the platform. That's
it. Waiting for the train home.
That's not...
Well, how does it go?
Watching you go.
Okay, fine. That's
you'd be terrible on...
you'd be in the bushes watching them, wouldn't you? Right, everyone. This...
What?
What?
I didn't really get that. Don't get it.
Right, everyone. This is Frere Ridings on Private Parts Podcast. One of mine and Francis's favourites. Enjoy. Your podcast is... I mean, your podcast, your microphone is on.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're recording now.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what we do. Hey, but listen, we're always on. Are you one of those people who aren't, or you have to like prepare yourself to be on?
No, I come from a family of actors, so it's kind of like I'm the least dramatic person in my family. So it's kind of, I'm used to a lot of energy.
Jamie is the most dramatic, if you know what I mean.
No, firstly, I'm not the most dramatic at all. No, I'm not. I'm not the most dramatic.
In your family?
No. Are you saying that I'm the most talented dramatic artist?
I'm saying that you're
family?
A drama queen.
I'm not a drama queen. I'm not a drama... Do you know what I am, though? I'm a hypochondriac.
Oh, really?
We've had this conversation before. You can't be a hypochondriac and say you're a hypochondriac, because then you're acknowledging that you are paranoid about your health. So you're effectively contradicting. I mean, a real, genuine hypochondriac would not think they were a hypochondriac.
Yes, because I'm being a hypochondriac about being a hypochondriac.
I feel like that's true. Mm. Yeah, that could happen.
Or you're being... It's an affectation... Like your asthma. You don't actually have asthma.
I do have asthma.
Do you not?
No, he actually... He carries around a puffer with him everywhere he goes.
Really?
And like, just like shows everyone on the street, like, I've got asthma.
To everyone.
Better than flashing people what he does.
What?
At least I show my puffer. You just show your penis.
What? I don't know.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Join with us today. We are very excited, aren't we, Francis? Because
yeah.
We have Frere Ridings. Hi, Frere.
Frere Ridings.
Hello.
Oh,
thank you guys for having me.
Hey, listen, can we tell the story of how we came across each other?
Yeah.
Or how
are you saying it like that? That's
No, how come you're on the podcast today? So what happened? Because we were talking about you on our podcast, weren't we?
Yeah, you guys said some lovely things, and lots of people sent me like DMs and tweets saying that you guys had said lovely things.
Really? Oh, I thought it was because you were just casually listening to the podcast.
That too.
And
that
you just
too.
Heard us saying, you know, how great you were. And
That could have feasibly happened because I do listen.
But it was...
Had you listened before? Or?
Well, I'd seen it and was planning to. And then I was actually in that episode. So
he. I'm sorry about that. Francis just needs validation the whole time about... Like, he doesn't care. He's just like, oh, have you listened to it? You know, it doesn't matter if she listens to
well,
it.
Well, I think it does... She's, I've got it's better.
I've got a lot of listening to do. Because there's 95 episodes to get through. So.
95 hours.
Oh,
actually,
my
more.
God. That's my whole tour.
Yeah.
All my travelling.
Wow.
But also, Fred, this is not...
Wait, you're doing the tour in like 4 days?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, have you not been invited on it?
No.
I have.
It's just the American shows. We're not doing UK shows until March.
Oh, yeah. So I've been invited to the American... We're starting in Louisiana, aren't we?
No.
Oh. No, sorry. We're starting in...
LA?
New Hampton.
New York.
New York. There we go.
New York.
Sorry, then we go to Louisiana after New York.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
I've never been.
But we're going.
Great.
We're going in about a week and a half.
That's a plan.
We?
My mum's from Louisiana.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah. She is.
Really? I can't tell if that's true.
It's true.
Nor can I. She couldn't tell either.
You're just like.
It's true. Yeah, she's born in Louisiana.
But Frere, we need before we get into things, we got to give a little background on. Because everyone who's listening knows exactly who you are, but you are 24.
I am.
Okay, here's my first question, right? You are a beautiful singer.
Thank you.
And
she also has a beautiful voice.
A beautiful voice. I would say one of the best voices of the current
generation.
Of our generation at the moment. Your voice is unbelievably amazing.
Thank you. I got bullied for it at school, so thank you.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. What were you always, in my class were like, you sound like a man, because I was like 9 and I was like trying to be like Aretha Franklin, and they would just be like, oh my god, and I'd be like, oh.
Oh no.
It was always like the boys I fancied as well. It's really sad.
Wait, hang on, so explain it. So at school you used to sing a hell of a lot, and then they used to bully you for it.
Yeah, I remember there was a day, I think I was like 9, and someone asked me to sing something for a joke, and then went round like saying to everyone that Freya sings a bit like a man, and it was really sad.
Oh no, that is sad.
But then everyone was like, oh, you sing. And so they invited me to play a show, which then turned out to be like one of the turning points of my life.
Wow.
So it did work out in the end.
But I don't, this is what I don't get about schools, right? Why school, it can be so mean and so harsh, and I'm sure...
Jamie was a big bully at school.
No. I can see that.
Yeah. I was not.
You bullied. No. Yeah, you did.
No.
You always
were you guys at school together?
No, we weren't. I would have bullied him if I was, though. But we were not at school together. The only time I've ever been called a bully was when we had a guy called Joseph at my school, and I was at a school called Hatherick Castle School, which was down in Hatherick Castle. And only ever liked the colour yellow, so he could only wear yellow things, and he could only colour in yellow things and things like that. And he was sort of a slightly odd kid, right? But I didn't bully him in any way.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't. I never did.
Why are you saying you didn't bully him?
because the point was is that we were called into our headmaster's office. I remember this very well. We were called into headmaster's office, and was standing there. And the headmaster said, right, some boys in this class have been bullying this boy. And I was looking around going, well, who could that be? I was looking around, and then they said, who do you think it is? And one boy, remember, he stood
up. You put
up.
Your hand up to try and throw someone under the bus, and they thought you were admitting it.
No, one person stood up, and he was like, yes, I think it could be me. And then another boy stood up and said it could be me, and then another boy stood up. And I wasn't even friends with these guys. And then the teacher said, and there's one more boy in here who's been doing it. Who's been doing it? And I was like, it's not me. Like, and I could sense that everyone was looking at me. And then I was like 6 years old. And one of the girls, first girl I actually ever fancied, pointed her hand at me and said, I think it was Jamie as well. And I was made to stand up, having not done anything. And he said, why did you do it? And so the only thing that came into my head, and this is true, I said, well, I did it because Tom said he wouldn't invite me to his birthday party. Because I needed to find like some sort of excuse, but I didn't ever do it. I felt done by.
Sounds like quite an elaborate excuse.
No, but the thing is, right, what I was going to say is that so you were bullied for it, which could have stopped you from actually singing, right?
I was kind of always a rebel. I feel like it was like, you know, being a redhead and being like much taller than the other kids just made me different anyway. So it was another thing.
Fuck you.
I'm like older boys. No, I was like, I just sort of went off to the piano rooms at lunchtime, and that like became my sort of friend. Mm.
But the amazing thing about you is that, I think you've said this before, is that you were dyslexic. So you couldn't read or write music.
No, still can't.
You can sing, you can do these things, but you would go to the piano and start writing. How on earth did you even begin doing that?
I think it was this, I had quite a few piano teachers who were like, you have to be able to read music or you can't play. And I was like, that doesn't feel right to me. Like, I could hear the music. I was like, if you can show me a song, I can work out. And they were like, that's just not how it's done. So I really wanted to play, but I had to basically write my own songs because people wouldn't teach me anyone else's.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the most talented songwriters actually don't read music.
I think it's two different parts of the brain.
Because it's, you know, improvising, you know, is less about music, like notation, and more about actually the feel of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but if I went to, if you... If
feel
you,
it.
Yeah, but see, okay, I feel like I'm a little bit musical. Like, yeah, I can...
What do you play?
I play blues.
Blues.
Yeah, all the old blues.
The blues.
I play some of the old,
the old blues
instrument.
No, I play the blues. Play a little bit of jazz. I can do lead. I can...
Like an instrument.
Yeah, what instrument?
Okay, I played the recorder, as everyone always does, and then I played
blues on the recorder.
Yeah. That sounded uncanny, like the blues.
Jazz flute.
Yeah. But no, but I think it's... Not anyone can just hear a sound and then go and start playing it, right?
You just, like, you hear it and then you hear it and work it out.
You said like, oh, just go and colour that thing in red. It's like you're saying it like it's so simple. I don't feel like it's that simple. How did you know what notes there were? How did you know what, if you can't read music, how are you learning any part of music at the beginning?
There are loads of the songs that I've written are in F sharp, and apparently that's like a terrible thing to do, but I didn't know. So when I like play with other musicians, they're like, damn you. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
But why is that? So F sharp is a hard thing to play with.
Yeah, but for me, it's one of my favorite, like I've written like 2 out of 3 of my singles in it. So it's kind of...
What does F sharp mean? Hang on, what do you say? Is that like F?
I still don't know. Like sometimes I'm just like, which one's this one?
So F is... So,
if it looks like a donkey, it's off to the right.
But F sharp is one of the black keys, right?
Yeah.
If it looks like a donkey, it's off to the right.
Yeah. No, someone told me once that like the 2 little black keys in the middle, there's like middle C and then you've got the 2 little black keys.
Oh, where you
look
begin
like
playing...
a little donkey. And it's always stuck with me.
That's
where you play Rugrats.
The little donkey, yeah.
Where you play Rugrats.
So if F and then it's F sharp and then F flat is also...
I don't know what you're saying, but yes.
But I want to know more. So,
so Lost Without You.
Yep.
Beautiful, moving love song.
Thank you.
Dedicated to Google Maps.
Yes, I am. I am actually lost without Google Maps, so I get lost a lot.
What do you mean lost without you is dedicated to Google Maps?
It's not.
You'd be lost without.
I get it.
I think that's the first time anyone's ever said that, which I can't believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love a good pun.
Well, yeah.
But wait, But I want to know more. So
is that in F sharp is what I was going to ask?
It is.
Yeah.
But
and waking up?
I think that's in C sharp. I just
look
love
at him
sharp.
Looking. Do you know what he's doing right now? I love how every single time he names one of your songs, he's looking at me, going like, yeah, I know.
Waking up.
I know all those songs.
Waking Up is another song. Is that in F sharp?
It's not.
That's about a man named Up who's always asleep.
What about Blackout? I bet you don't know that one.
Blackout.
Yeah, that's F sharp.
Yeah, that's F sharp.
Good, you could.
What about Ultraviolet, if you want to...
That's also in C sharp. Yeah. I think I have a theme.
Ultraviolet, radiation.
Okay, oh, no.
Oh my God, you need to design t-shirts for that.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But France, if you want to have a battle off with who knows Freya more, bet you didn't know that Ultraviolet was also remixed by the Welsh DJ... Is his name Welsh? But he is, isn't he Welsh?
I don't know, I've never met him.
But you know the one I'm talking about, it was remixed.
Which one?
I don't know, which, tell me.
You know.
I don't know.
You know him probably more than me, I don't know.
Zed. I don't know.
Jamie, what are you on about?
I'm just saying, look, I know a lot of things about her, right?
I've definitely written songs.
But what I want to know more is that, so you kind of skipped it because you... How did you learn how to play the instruments if you didn't have any understanding of music and things like that?
You're asking the same question.
Yeah, but I didn't hear. Okay, I didn't hear what it was.
I feel like growing up, it was that kind of thing. Like I was really lucky that my parents kind of supported the fact that I couldn't read music. And they were like, you know, write your own songs. It's totally... Because I used to play them to my music teachers and they'd be like, cool, weird 9-year-old. And I'd be like, but I've written a song. And they'd be like, just learn mine. And I'd be like, oh.
weird 9-year-old.
Because you know,
get out, you freak. What are you doing?
It was bad.
You know what? I used to have one of those little keyboards, right? And it was like multicolored keyboard. And this was before I...
I really would have bullied you.
Yeah. And I used to sort of sit in my room and you know, make up these little songs and go, blah, 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 and sing along to them. And then my aunt came in and caught me and started laughing. And then I was so embarrassed, I just gave up.
See, that's so sad because you could have, you know, written so many songs.
I could have written so many beautiful songs. Actually, I have written some songs.
I have a feeling. I really have a big feeling. I don't think you would have.
So I played the violin.
Oh, okay.
And then I realized that the orchestra, I was in the orchestra and I thought that it was uncool. So I stopped playing that. And then I remember I did the tryouts for the choir at school.
You were in the choir as well, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
And then I heard this older boy say, oh yeah, God, I totally flunked my choir auditions on purpose because it's so lame to be in the choir. And I was like, shit.
I flunked, give me your lunch money because I flunked.
Yeah, whatever.
Who says flunked in the UK? I flunked the choir.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he deliberately fucked it up and I was like, shit, that must be quite a cool thing to do. So then I fucked up my choir auditions.
Oh.
Didn't get in the choir. He pushed, I don't know, he was like, try to do middle C. And then he was like, okay, now do middle C. And I went, And basically he just did all the wrong ones. And he was like, okay, I guess you don't want to be in the choir then.
And you were like, no, I really do. I just not good enough.
Yeah, I'm just tone deaf, all right? Cut me some slack.
Wait, so you were learning all these instruments and your parents were encouraging you to kind of write all your own songs.
Well, I'd seen my dad playing and writing growing up and I just thought that's what you did. I thought you played your own instrument and you wrote your own songs. So when I like turned up playing my own instruments and writing songs, people were like, huh? But to me, it was just normal.
Yeah.
But now sort of looking back, I'm so happy I did it that way because I feel like if you try and do it the other way around, like you start just singing and then you have to try and play, it gets harder.
It is, yeah.
Do you know what's also interesting about that is that I told you this, and so Francis went to a Montessori school as well. But
no, I didn't.
Did you not? Have I just put that on you?
What? Yeah,
Francis went to
my younger sister went to Montessori.
Oh, did your younger sister? Okay.
Montes.
So, but the interesting thing about that, right, is... you know, you find people who go to these sort of creative schools where you're not told to kind of, you have to read this or you have to study that, you have to do this. And so you'll kind of choose what you want to do. So you become much more creative, supposedly. Mm. And I think it works for the individual. But I think what you're saying is you did that same thing because you weren't trained to be a singer and to do all those kind of things, you then could become more creative because you had nothing to go on. You were learning a Hamlet play without knowing what the Hamlet play was
about. I didn't know I couldn't. That was definitely part of
it. Maybe that's what it is. Mm.
I feel like there's a lot of things, like when you're young, if you get told you're good at something, then you sort of reinforce it. And I was like, people sort of were definitely supportive of it. And I was like, oh, because I'd never been good at anything. So I was like, oh, I'll just go with this. And it just sort of turned into this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy where I just kept writing and just in complete isolation.
It's like you with reality TV.
You found
something you were good at and you just
went
I do remember when I was at school, though. I remember lying in bed at school and thinking, God, I just want to be cool. And I remember thinking, I just want to be so cool because I was at this boarding school. And I remember thinking, all I want to do is like, do like wear a bandana and walk into the school and everyone looks at me and think I'm really cool. I remember,
was this
like,
at Radley?
This is not when I was 15. No, it was more when I was like 8, 9.
Aww.
Yeah, and I remember.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I remember so well that I wanted to be really cool. And then like half a year later, I got given the part in a play in this play called Smike, and I played Boulder, where I was like the punk kid, and I got out and came and sang the song called "Do the Boys Rock." Do the boy. Squeezy had a daughter, only 4 foot 5. But man, you ought to see her when she hits that drive. Whoa, yeah. Reeling and a rocking. That was my song.
Yeah.
And I felt like
the blues.
Yeah. I also played the handheld keyboard at the same time.
Handheld.
But the thing is, but did you face any obstacles when doing? Because a lot of people face obstacles and things like that. Like someone said to you, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. But what kind of propelled you forward? Was it your parents or just your own like desire in a sense?
My mum always said, she was like, we're never gonna say that you have to practice, but we'll just stop paying for the lessons. And so I would always be like, I knew it was down to me. Like I was never gonna be pushed. It was the opposite. If anything, they were like, come to dinner. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm playing piano. And I remember her telling me a story being like, oh, I was just talking to her friends at her book club being like, you know, when you just can't get your child off the piano. And they're like, no. And she's like, oh, it's really annoying, isn't it? And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
So you were just obsessed with it?
Yeah, completely. I feel like I definitely had the piano instead of like a friendship group at school, which is kind of like at the time sad.
Yeah. Whoa, that's sad.
But it's fine now because I get to do what I love every day.
So. Which is so true. And also...
You had the last laugh.
But also, Fred, which is so interesting, and I think will relate to so many people out there, which is really important, is that... I suppose what you're sort of saying is that you felt sort of different to the other kids, maybe in a different...
I really was. I was like, year six, I remember I came back and someone who I'd been in class with for many years tapped me on the shoulder and was like, excuse me, miss? And I was like, I'm your class! I'm not even joking. Me and my mum had gone shopping, right? And this, like, definitely older woman shop. And I got, like, this furry gilet and I thought I was so cool. And I basically came back and that completely cracked everything just down to the ground because I was so tall. And he thought I was an adult. And that's basically why kids just didn't want to, like, hang out with me because they thought I was much older than I was. It was like a nightmare.
I put that so heartbreaking that someone in your class...
I was like, I've been in your class for years. Literally, what are you talking about?
Oh no,
he didn't even seem that shocked. I was like, oh.
But then okay, so were you kind of, were you shy as a...
Oh, I didn't speak. I didn't speak. Because I
you just
like
sang.
Yeah. No, for real. I wouldn't speak. And then there would be these shows and I'd like sing and everyone would be like, oh, I didn't know he could even make a noise. And I'd be like, hello.
But you see my sort of, there's a contradiction to that, right? Because you're super shy and...
Like cripplingly.
Yeah, but cripplingly, right? And again, this relates to so many people. But then yet you could stand on stage, which is the most kind of revealing place in the world, and sing and do something, which surely if you're shy, that's the last place you would ever want to be.
For some reason, it feels like, you know, I couldn't really be myself in school and it was so painful to have that like every day. And I could be myself at home, which was always like, you know, that kept me sort of going. But the first time I ever sang, like it was like an open mic night. It was like the first time I'd ever really been myself in school. And I was like, I'm going to keep doing this.
And I guess if you're playing in front of, you know, a huge crowd, It's somewhat easier maybe than
talking to like, well, like a group
or,
of people.
Yeah, or even performing in front of like 10 people in a room is more awkward than performing 10,000.
Yeah, no, it really is. 100%.
Yeah.
But what was your first time then? So you're playing the piano loads. Your friend is the piano. You can't read or write music. You still can't. You're writing your own songs. Your teachers are telling you,
this is an F sharp, and I told you not to do that again.
Yeah. If you do that again, I'm going to break your fingers.
Yeah, legit. I used to have a piano teacher who used to try and hit my hands, and I'd be like, no. I was like, no. And he was like, and I'd be like, stop it. He was like, old school. I was like, no, you're going to hit me. And he was like, I'd just play all the wrong chords, and he'd get upset.
He tried to.
I feel really, really lucky that I was sort of brought up not in terms of like to apologize for like who I was, especially as like being a girl. I didn't see there being any difference. And so when I went to all these open mic nights, and every girl would have a guy playing guitar with them, and I'd be like, why isn't anyone playing their own instrument? This is so weird.
I love that attitude. That is such, your parents are so badass.
I didn't
know. Because they spent all their time trying to learn sheet music and not actually learning to play and write music, right?
It's just very, very strange to me. It's still true. Like women in terms of like in the songwriting community, like I've written with, you know, probably like 100 men and I've written with like one woman. So it's like that kind of percentage and it's so worrying. And so in terms of like championing like women songwriting is just something that I'm hugely passionate about.
Freya, we've got to stop you there because on that very important moment, because we have to hear a little mention from our sponsors. We take a little break right now. It's a fake break because we're not actually going to read anything. We're just going to go into a break and then we're going to say something which is pre-recorded and then come straight back in, if that's okay with you. Yeah. Okay, so We'll see you in like half a millisecond. See you in a bit.
Half a millisecond.
Well, I don't know.
Millisecond.
They're
going to hit.
They're going to. Isn't they? They're called a millisecond, aren't they? What are they called? What is happening? What? What? Oh. They're a millisecond.
And we're back.
No, we're not. They haven't heard from our sponsors yet. Look, we'll see you in a millisecond.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That was it. Ah, there we go. That was good. That was it. That was our little break. Told you it would be a mini second.
It really was.
But what I want to find out more, right, is why do you think in the music industry you've only worked with one woman writer? Why is that?
Because growing up, especially even at like music schools that I sort of went to, it was just sort of you know, all the girls would like crowd round their table. All the boys would have like Sound on Sound, like the music magazine, and they'd all be like, "Oh my god, look at this plugin, it's amazing!" And then all the girls would be like around like a tabloid, being like, "Oh my god, everyone's so thin, it's amazing!" And I was just like really saddened by that. And I used to be like, "Does anyone want to come like write with me after school?" And they just like, "Oh no!" Like, and the boys, there was a few boys who wrote their own music, but they all played their own instruments. And I used to just find that so bizarre because I was like,
the Brit school.
Yeah, this was the Brit school, and I was like, I'd spent so long being like, I'll go there and I'll find my tribe, and it was still that same sort of like isolation, and I was like, oh my god. But at the same time, I learned so much about, you know, almost the underdogs, the people who started at the Brit school as the people who didn't have, you know, who weren't signed at like 14. We had so much more to fight for and so much more to say, and I'm so happy that they were like, you guys aren't going to do anything, because I was like, bring it, like, it kind of really lit a fire in me.
And that's what really drove you forward, was the constant kind of rejection, I suppose, towards you.
So you felt you had to work harder.
There was a few of us who were definitely, there was a few people who had definitely been signed young, and they were like, this is just going to be easy.
Yeah.
And they just sort of, you could just tell they thought that things were just going to happen.
Foregone conclusion.
Yeah. And I remember one of them came in one time and I was writing, and I was like, oh, do you want to write? And like, they literally were like, oh no, I don't want to write. And now they like messaged me being like, oh, can I support you? And I'm like,
no, shut up, you motherfuckers.
No. Francis is supporting me on his keyboard.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
But this is
Jamie on the blues.
Yeah. Just on the blues.
What is the
Jamie,
blues?
I don't know. He's on the blues in the corner.
Just the whole thing.
Yeah, it's just the blues.
I thought, aren't there those drugs you take?
He's not on the blues.
No, he's on the reds.
Yeah, I'm on the reds. But Fred, so I just want to know that, because we skipped over it pretty quickly. You were being insecure, you were being worried, and you were going on stage, and everyone else had their people playing guitars for them, but you were by yourself.
Yeah.
What was that first moment where you went on stage and were like, here I'm going to go? Because surely that's an unbelievable moment for you.
It felt like cliff diving, it really did. But at the same time, I felt like I sort of didn't really have anything to lose, because I was so sort of not myself at school. And I saw a poster for an open mic night, and I was like, because I've been writing songs at home and like not showing them to anyone, never thinking I would. I was like, I can just write songs at home, just, you know, just to get out how I'm feeling. But I went along, and it was just for 16 to 18 year olds, and I was 11. But because I was so tall, they didn't know that I wasn't 16. So they let me in, and my parents came down, because I was going to school in Hertfordshire, and it was really far away from where I lived. So my parents like drove up, and it was a big deal. And I was like, oh my god.
I love that your parents went for it as well. That's so
Yeah, they
epic.
Came for the open mic night, and everyone was on bean bags, and it was like really cool.
I thought you said everyone's on beans. Everyone's on like beans.
It was that kind of like laid back vibe. But I just remember I thought I was literally going to die. I was so scared. But I got up there with my dad's guitar, and I had like my big green coat on, because it was like a safety blanket. And I played these two songs I'd written, and it was just like a lightning bolt just hit me in the face. And I was like, boom, this is what I want to do. Like, I love this.
And did you get a standing ovation afterwards?
I think the beanbags were really hard to get up on.
Yeah.
But I'm not blaming it on that.
But a round of applause, at least.
Yeah, that was nice.
But that's pretty insane that you had the energy and the willpower to kind of go and see this open mic night and go and do it. Did you definitely feel lonely as a sort of growing up, or were you not lonely?
It was daily like heartbreak. I think people thought that I was someone who really liked being on my own, but I'd been brought up around people and around actors and around people who just like have these really lively like funny conversations. And then to go to school and sort of be treated like you're sort of so different that you're like not even part of the, I was thinking about it the other day, because it's not exactly bullying, but it's like ostracizing is almost worse, because you're kind of, it's like psychological death. You're like, because I used to sit down at lunch and everyone would just get up and leave. Like, not because they didn't like me. I think it was just because they were like, we just don't have anything in common. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm dying. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity now. It's kind of, it was almost like a cocoon. It gave me a lot of time to sort of work out who I was a lot earlier than I probably would have done if I'd had loads of friends, or like, and now I have, you know, the most incredible band and the most incredible team, and I kind of get to do what I love with people I love, and that's kind of the
broad. Did you choose your band?
It's kind of like a slow growing process of like, people know people and I love them to death. Like, we're literally like a family now. I love it.
But what, you know, my girlfriend,
if you ever need a blues player.
Yeah, I am. Oh, I'm sitting over here. But my girlfriend very much had the same thing. She was a French girl that came to a school. She is a French girl.
She's French.
Until I murdered her.
That's so dumb.
Kidding. Obviously, I didn't murder her. But she was a French girl. She is a French girl.
You better hope she's not murdered, because
yeah, I'm the suspect, aren't I? Be annoying. But she is a French girl who came to an English school, and she had the same thing where she would go, and she talks about it, tells me she would go to lunch Everyone would then get up from the table and just move away just because they wanted to make a point.
Yeah.
And it's really...
They'd throw baguettes at her.
Yeah, and berets. but it made her... It made her really upset. And so she... And I now have a real sort of anger because I can't do anything. I can't... It's in the past. Why? But for some reason, I get an anger towards it. But the strange thing, you're intelligent, beautiful, like smart, like chatty, everything. So it's odd that people would just suddenly make that decision when you're younger that to alienate you for no apparent reason.
I think I was just very different.
But different's good. You know, there's always that thing that people say, why fit in when we're born to stand out?
Children,
right?
Yeah.
That's the point.
But children are mean and like...
Yeah, I don't think anyone's
cruel,
their best,
you know?
At school. No. I feel like everyone's a bit sort of insecure, and I was definitely like, I don't know, just such an obvious target for someone who's just like, you know, very different.
Mm.
It's like a sort of...
Well, you should know. I mean, you bullied that kid who was obsessed with yellow.
I did not. I never did.
Well.
But then, so then you finished Brit School, you're doing Brit School, and then you had, I suppose, your big turning point in your career, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your big turning point was Love Island was on, and there was this big breakup scene between
Laura and Jack.
And I know you spoke about this a million times, but I think this is your sort of big moment. And your song "Lost Without You," which I just dreamy love about. I think we love it, don't we? Came on, and that was the big moment. That it was Shazam something like 13,000 times.
Crazy.
Which is, it's like the most Shazam song ever or something ridiculous like it. So what happened then?
So it's one of those things, like, we've been, you know, playing shows and releasing music for about a year before that, but I was actually watching a different series of Love Island, so I was kind of in the same sort of headspace of like loving it.
Oh,
but
you were behind a season, or?
Yeah, I was the season behind, so I was like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And I got...
You really are different. Why did you decide to watch them out of...
Because it was on... One of them's on Netflix, and I was trying to watch it, like, traveling, and so I downloaded them all.
So you were like to everyone, don't talk to me. Don't tell me what happened. Do they stay together? Do they not?
I was just... I found it a complete honour that they'd wanted to use any of my songs, and they used all three of my singles.
Wow.
And so... Because they said that they might use one of them at most, and I was like, well, that would be amazing, but I had no idea how much or if it would even have any impact, because you know, things happen, like things just move on. But that was a real moment in terms of people just sort of like, it put it into like the top 10, and like it just sort of,
because that's millions of people listening to it, you know.
Just overnight.
But you had no idea it was going to... This is what...
No
you,
idea.
You're panicking. I heard you say that your friend sent it in. And they said, oh, we probably won't use it.
No, they were like, we probably won't use it. Because it's like ITV. They're like, there's not very much of a chance that we're going to use it. Because it's like, you know, doesn't have drums. Like, loads of stuff. Yeah. It's kind of sad. And I was like, yeah.
But it doesn't have drums. Is that what they
You'd
said?
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of sort of... There's a lot of reasons why it shouldn't have worked. And it's just crazy for it to, like, you know, be in the top 10 and...
But that's amazing. And so you had this whole moment. So you're on tour and suddenly people are going like, oh God, you're on Love Island and all this kind of thing. And then Scott Mills says it's his like number one.
That was when things got really weird. I was like, it's such a slow progression. Like, oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's really weird. And then suddenly you're like, why am I on Top of the Pops on Christmas Day? This is insane. Yeah. Like 6 months ago, I was, you know, watching things like this being like, that's amazing.
So it all happened very quickly. I mean,
because I've been playing and writing since I was like 11, it just sort of felt, it didn't feel like overnight, but there was definitely like a sort of snowball effect after Love Island. Mm. Like it was just kind of, everything just sort of started to get that bit bigger and sort of faster. But for me, the biggest joy was like the tour, because I feel like that totally transformed the kind of feeling of the tour. It just kind of became electric.
But you were on tour at the time?
No, it was kind of, we were doing a lot of like traveling around Europe, and we was like, I think we were getting back from like Germany. And I was sort of in a cab going home, and I just sort of got a text from my friend being like, you're on Love Island. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm in a cab. And I was like, pretty much would never go on Love Island. She was like, no, your song. I was like, oh my God, they used it. But just, you know, that was a nice thing enough. And then it just sort of, the Shazam thing happened, and then it was in the charts. And it was like the first woman to write a song since like Kate Bush in the charts. And I was like, that's insane, because I love Kate Bush. And I was like... There's just little moments where you like actually have to pinch yourself.
Who is Kate?
Do you know Kate Bush is?
Not George Bush. No, what?
No.
Kate Bush. What is she? What is Kate Bush? She's
running up that hill.
Wuthering Heights.
How does it? Well, go on, Francis, sing it then. Go on.
I don't know why.
Is that the song?
It's not the blues. You might not know.
That's why. Sorry, I only connect with blues. That's why I just can't hear anything else.
She's got a very high voice. I don't know why.
She's stunning lyricist.
Yeah.
Is she really?
Yeah.
But that, so that whole moment just is something. And then does it, because I suppose you're trying to build, you've done all the things, you're trying to build towards becoming a known musician, right? You're already a musician, but you're becoming to become like a really...
We haven't even released the album yet. I think that's the thing that's really blowing my mind, is like the kind of opportunities we're getting now are just like, normally people, like after they have an album, they try to, and we've released two live albums, and it's like, that's... We still have the studio album to go, and we were still in the process of making it. And so it meant that these incredible people, these icons that I've always listened to, were suddenly like, can I like help out? And yeah. I'm like, oh my God, yes, you can. So it's going to be so exciting. Like, we've got incredible strings and we've got like a gospel choir and it's like incredible people have worked
That's
on
so
it.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. When are you hoping to actually lay down all the tracks for the new album?
We've done it.
Oh, you've done it? Oh,
yeah,
right.
We've been working over it over the last whole year, and it just took so many different turns, because obviously after the single went into the charts, it's like, oh my, it just sort of makes you realise that the kind of album that you want something to be, and just sort of everyone just sort of...
Sorry, lay down,
in.
That means record it, Jimmy.
I know what lay down, industry. Don't worry, I can lay down any stuff and spit any lyric you want me to, for you.
I think we're fine.
Okay, well, just letting you know that. But can you explain some more about, say, singles, because I never get this, singles and albums. No, I know what they mean, Francis.
One's really short.
Yeah, Freya.
And one's longer.
Freya, look, if you want...
Sorry, Jamie.
Look, I know what they mean, all right? I understand that
you just break it down.
No, I'm not breaking that shit out.
So an EP is like a slightly like in the middle.
Do you know what EP stands for, Francis?
Extended play.
There we go.
Did you know that?
No, I did not. It was very good of you to know that. Do you know what?
Do you know what LP stands for?
Lieutenant. What does it mean?
I've forgotten.
What does it mean?
Well, I don't even know.
Okay, good that you said that.
I was actually just asking you.
But I want to know this more, right? So, because I don't understand like the idea of like the albums and things. You release all these singles and then put them together in an album. Is that what happens?
Not entirely. I feel like mostly it's because some of the singles won't be on the album.
So you,
and some
you,
will.
So you create the singles first and then you create the album. Or because I would say that you go like, okay, this is what the album's going to be called. It's going to be called Jamie Lang. And then these are the songs.
The blues.
Jamie Lang and the blues. Jamie Lang is blue. Yeah, and then we're going to write all the singles. But no, it's the opposite way around, where you write all the singles and then you create the album.
Mm, exactly.
But why do they do that? That's a silly way of doing it, isn't it?
Well, you write songs and then you choose the ones that, you know, you feel like are going to resonate with people, or the ones that you want to put out first to kind of advertise the album. And it's a crazy opportunity to be able to, like, you know, we've just sold out the Roundhouse and it's like, we haven't put out an album.
Wait, sold out, so we can't get tickets?
Can we not get tickets to it?
No.
What?
No, you can come if you want to come.
Can we come?
Yeah.
Can we come?
I'd love to invite you. Yeah, come down.
Are you actually inviting us?
Yeah, come to...
When is it?
It's March the 13th.
Obviously I'm there.
Are you guys Definitely. Around?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh
I'm
my
putting,
God, come.
I'm actually putting it in my diary now.
So excited. We're designing the set at the moment and it's mental. We've got like some exciting moving things.
Sick. I'm free on that day. There's nothing in my diary.
Yes, Jamie.
What?
Oh, sorry, my bad.
I'm free that day. There's nothing in my diary.
I keep telling people it's the 13th. Is it not? My parents might not be able to make it. That's terrible.
I know.
I love how.
Wait, the 13th is sold out. What about the 11th when the actual concert?
No one's coming.
I love how I do. Yeah, no one's coming.
No one's coming.
I love how I do that as well. I literally go through my diary. Oh, yeah, I can clear it. Yeah. It's that simple. Nothing in it. I'm putting it in my diary.
Like
now.
Your mum's birthday. Cancel.
Yeah, but are we doing it on a Monday night?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because it's kind of in the middle of tour. Like, we did Shepherd's Bush and it was the first day of the whole tour. So, like, everyone was like, getting wild. And we were like, cup of tea on the tour bus. Here we go. And it was like, it was so exciting to get on the tour bus and, like, have that experience, because it was like from a film.
But then now, when you actually do your full UK tour, which you'll do after America, right? So that's going to be...
It's in the dark.
Like,
get in the dark.
Because now you're so well known in the UK... You know, surely the audiences you are playing to in Europe will pale in comparison to the audiences you're going to play to here, or is it kind of...
It's kind of like, because we've done a lot of stuff in like Germany and like the Netherlands and Sweden and like Norway, it's actually kind of growing at the same sort of rate.
Really?
And in fact, some of them have been like some of the most supportive sort of countries before anything was like, they would put me on radio like ages ago. So
France, so you play in Amsterdam?
Yeah, love France, playing in Amsterdam.
You are, look how excited you are, Francis. Gonna go over there. And another excuse to go to Amsterdam.
Do you like Amsterdam?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like Amsterdam. Beautiful. I like the canals. And,
but I find that this is insane, man. That like it's so exciting that that like things are going so well for you, and you deserve it. Like your voice is insane. It connects with so many different people. And how amazing now that people talk about like, I mean, people talk about like reality TV and television, how it's not good for things. But in fact, for someone like you, it was like something so great for your beginning, right?
I honestly would never have expected it. And it's something that I'm just so grateful for, because I feel like having those years where I literally went around and played Lost Without You in pubs, like to two people and a poodle. That happened.
is that the... Were they all like, God, I feel a bit, like, sad now.
No, they were really sweet. They were a really sweet couple, and they asked me to play at their wedding.
Did you play at their wedding?
No, I'm not sure if they ever got married in the end.
Because they broke up after you sang that song.
Sorry. They were so sweet, though, and I felt like it didn't matter if it was two people or, like, 20,000 people. I was going to do the same show.
Can you tell us what the album's going to be called, or is that not allowed?
It's self-titled. I feel like the only thing that it has in common is like, because it's kind of been written, like there's a song that I started when I was 14 and there's a song that I finished like right before we recorded it. So it spans the whole
What does self-titled mean?
Like my name.
Oh, so
like, so your album would be called Jamie Lang.
Oh, I get you. Right, Freya, what we like to do on the podcast is we have something called Question of the Week, where Frances asks us a question and we try and answer it.
Amazing.
It's been a format for you right there. Mm-hmm. So Frances, my dearest friend, please let's have the answer.
Dearest friend, wow.
Yeah, you are a very deep. You are
an esteemed position, though.
Esteemed position.
Esteemed.
Esteemed. You're like getting a bit, steamed.
Yeah, I'm a little bit steamy here.
Francis, esteemed mini seconds.
Francis, let's have the All question right. of the week.
There is an island in Japan, which it's only inhabited.
Yoshi.
Fuji.
Yoshi cider.
Fuji.
Fuji.
No. No. It's only inhabited by one animal on the island. No one lives there. It's just inhabited by one animal. Mm. What is the animal?
I think I know this. Freya, you are the loveliest guest, so you get to go first, because I'm not going to copy your answer, but I feel like you're going to steal mine. Feel like you're a knicker of answers.
I probably am. Dyslexic.
Yeah. Same. Hey, snap! Yeah.
Wait, you're dyslexic too?
Well, I don't know. There's
this is like his asthma and his hypochondria. He just likes to claim all these illnesses
No, I don't. So basically, when I was at school, I had to take the dyslexic test. Did you do the dyslexic test?
Mm-hmm. I did a dyslexic test as well.
Okay.
I think I am actually.
I did mine.
I didn't. I never actually like. I think I failed the test. So
that's a clear sign you are dyslexic.
Yeah.
Well, I did mine and I didn't fail the test. And I went back to my teacher and I said, well, why did I fail it? And he said, because you're stupid. So I was.
That's a terrible thing to say.
I know. But my spelling, give me a word to spell. Let's have a spell off. Let's have
All right,
a spell.
Spell millisecond.
Mini. Minisecond.
I think you are dyslexic.
No, just give me another one. Go on, give us both a word. Here we go.
Because.
Oh, no, we can do
big
that.
Big elephants can't always use small exits. It's the only one I can remember.
You know when someone's dyslexic when they do that.
Still use it.
Mrs. C, Mrs. I, Mrs. F, F, R.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
So, because I was bilingual growing up, and so I learned.
What did you speak?
French. But when I was growing up, I learnt English and French at the same time. But then my spelling was. Like, I spelt words differently. Sometimes I spelt the French way, sometimes I spelt the English way. Mm. So I wasn't... My French teacher in France thought that I was dyslexic, but then I never actually ended up taking...
Because you were speaking English.
Dyslexic. Yeah, I think
he's dyslexic. No, that's almost like...
guy's dyslexic, speaking English.
But anyway, so a word for you guys to try and spell... I forgot. Onomatopoeia.
Oh, my Lord. Onomatopoeia. Okay, I'll go first.
Is that like a yoga on the beach thing?
What?
Do it like onomat or pier.
Onomat or pier.
It's a new yoga mat.
It's a new yoga mat.
All right, onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia.
No, that's on mat.
Okay.
On mat.
Okay, go on. Fine. Clever clogs, go on.
It's a nightmare.
Go on. Onomatopoeia. And then I'm going to give you cloud.
Onomatopoeia. O-N-A-A.
Yeah.
M.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare.
You sound so confident doing it. When you were writing an exam, I was taking ages.
They gave me extra time.
See, I didn't get extra time.
I loved my extra time meant so much to me because I was nowhere near finished.
Where were you? You were at A?
I don't like that.
All right, well, let's just say we believe you, Freya. Yeah. But like, why don't you guys give me the answer to the question?
Okay, I'm going to go for the answer first. I think it's snakes.
Snakes?
I think it's snakes, yeah.
You think there's an island just inhabited by snakes?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
All right.
Snakes on a plane.
Yeah, snakes on a plane. Snakes and on an island.
Penguins.
Penguins.
Why not?
Oh, I love penguins.
I love penguins.
They're my, you know penguins are so sweet. You know they give their mate a rock to...
I saw that.
Yeah, to practice looking after an egg, yeah.
No.
I thought it was like an engagement rock.
Engagement rock.
Oh, no, but I thought it was to practice looking after the egg.
No, it's the prettiest, shiniest rock.
Yeah, the shiniest rock. And also what they do is they hold circles around each other to keep each other warm. They swap positions when someone gets cold. And also, you know,
it's like a peloton in the Tour de France.
Yeah. But also, you know how you tell a female sea urchin? The female,
tell them what?
The difference between a female sea urchin and a male sea urchin, the female sea urchins have stones on them so they look pretty.
What, the female ones? Yeah. But it's mostly the male ones.
Why are you trying to find the female sea urchins, you pervert?
But they just have massive fake lashes, and you're like, that one.
That one, I like that one. That's the end of part one. We're going to be back in part two, where we had the answer to the question of the week, Francis Diary, and just loads more of your coolness.
Thank you.
We'll see you in part two. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.